Through the written word and spoken word, may we come to know the living word, Jesus the Christ. Amen. In 1710, Jonathan Swift of Gulliver's Travels fame wrote, "Falsehoods fly, and truth comes limping after it, so that when men come to be undeceived, it is too late. The jest is over, and the tale has had its effect. Like a physician who has found out an infallible medicine after the patient is dead." Isn't it true? Falsehoods fly while truth merely limps along. Why is that? Why is it it's so easy, falsehoods to spread like wildfire, and truth so hard to come? There's further questions we might ask. What is truth? Can we achieve? Can we gain truth? How do we know truth? How do we trust someone who is telling the truth? In seminary, we had one whole year of studying this matter, and I have not found the solution to it. But nevertheless, today we hear that same question when the disciples are with Jesus, and he's preaching, and he's saying, "I am the bread of life." And the people who hears them, and I don't blame them, ask, "What? I mean, I know your dad, I know your mom. You're the guy who grew up with us. How can I believe that? How are you saying, 'I am the bread of life'? I have come from heaven." No wonder. It is hard. Truth is a difficult thing to come upon. And moreover, we have been lied upon. We have been lied by our parents, our schools, our churches, government, science. So there is a basic mistrust of truth. The United States is a fertile ground for conspiracy theories. And I had a whole list of them, and I was writing them as I imagine some of us believe in them. But some of them are innocuous, some of them are terrible. The truth that Sandy Hook never happened, that there was no shootings. The landing on the moon was never happened. President Obama was born in Kenya. Vaccines produce autism, etc., 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 etc. Both on the right and on the left. The United States is rife of all these conspiracy theories because we don't know. Where is truth? We are in a world of alternative facts, of what you're seeing and what you're reading is not what is happening. As Orwell wrote in 1949, "The party told you to reject the evidence of your eyes and your ears, and it was their final, most essential command." We hear today Paul telling us, "So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbor, for we are members of one another." And I think this is a very important admonition by Paul. Paul knew that truth was so essential to our lives as a society, as a community. If there is no truth, if we cannot rely and depend upon each other, everything is fallen. So that is why he tells the Ephesians, and he's telling this in the context of the new man, the new woman he aspires us to be. He has just said before, "Clothe yourselves with the new person created according to God's image in justice and true holiness." And once he says that, become new people, he says, the first thing he asks, "So then, put away falsehood. Let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors because we are members of one another." This new person needs to get rid of falsehoods, and then we can go and tell the truth to our neighbors because we belong, we are part of each other. We in our spiritual formation group on Thursday, we've been studying this statement called Reclaiming Jesus, written by our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, amongst other leaders of the churches. And they wrote on point number 5, they touch about the importance of truth. And they wrote the following: We believe the truth is morally central to our personal and public lives. Truth-telling is central to the prophetic biblical tradition, whose vocation includes speaking the word of God into their societies and speaking the truth to power. A commitment to speaking truth, the ninth commandment of the Decalogue, you shall not bear false witness, is foundational to shared trust in society. Falsehood can enslave us, but Jesus promises, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The search and respect for truth is crucial to anyone who follows Christ. Therefore, they continue saying, we reject the practice and pattern of lying that is invading our political and civil life. Politicians, like the rest of us, are human, fallible, sinful, and mortal. But when public lying becomes so persistent that it deliberately tries to change facts for ideological, political, or personal gain, the public accountability to truth is undermined. The regular purveying of falsehoods and consistent lying by the nation's highest leaders can change the moral expectations within a culture, the accountability for a civil society, and even the behavior of families and children. The normalization of lying presents a profound moral danger to the fabric of society. In the face of lies that bring darkness, Jesus is our truth and our light. They end that part there. I think that this is a very serious denunciation of our bishops. We cannot tell the truth by purposely obscuring it, or by ignorance and spreading lies. And this is not only a matter of politicians up there or bishops. It is a matter that touches each one of us. Those of us who go onto Facebook, how many times we click and just share something that has no basis in reality? Quotes that are put and they have no basis in reality. So the invitation is, we need to be more diligent on our search for truth. Where does it come from? What is the source? Hughes always joked on me that when I write my sermons, I put footnotes. Because I know that there's a ton of things and quotes that are not true. And we just keep putting them on. For example, that Jonathan Swift quote, I need to find out where it was. Is it true? I read it somewhere, but I don't know if it's true. There is a deep suspicion, and I think it is a good suspicion. But the thing is, we need to be proactive in our search for truth. As Jesus said, truth will set us free. Thus, we need to strive to find that truth, to verify the context. Who is the person who wrote this? When did this was written? What are my own biases? What are my own prejudices that affect the truth? Ignatius of Loyola wrote a beautiful book about discernment. And I think our society needs profound discernment to discern truth and lies. And for Ignatius, there were 7 attitudes that were basics. One was to have an open heart and an open mind. To have a generous spirit, putting no conditions on what God might ask of us. Courage, even for difficult and challenging actions that we feel we are called to do. To have an interior freedom to choose what is true and right and just. To be imbued our whole lives with prayerful reflection that helps us discern truth from lies. To have our priorities straight, not to confuse ends with means. Today, in Richard Rohr's meditation, daily meditation he ends his meditation by saying the following: if anything is true, then it has always been true. And people who sincerely search will touch upon the same truth in every age and culture, while using different language, symbols, and rituals to paint us in the same direction. The direction is always towards more love and union in ever widening circles. This is not easy, It is easy just to share a meme or a posting without verifying, is it true? And it is a true, it is hard to discern and to be constantly in this attitude of suspicion, of delving deeper, of trying to understand and to live out the truth. And just like Elijah, we might feel and think that this road is long and hard. And like Elijah, we are invited to come to the table, to get up and eat. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you. And like we said in today's psalm, taste and see the Lord is good. Happy are they who trust in the Lord. So as we come around the table to be fed, let that bread and wine feed us, to continue to strive for the truth, to make our world a better place, to make our society, our nation, a better place where justice and peace reign. It is worth to repeat the collect prayer of today. Grant to us, Lord, we pray, the spirit to think and do always those things that are right, that we who cannot exist without you may by you be enabled to live according to your will. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.